Well, I don't go by feelings, but doesn't that feel good? Amen. To be in the presence of God, in the anointing of God. You know, the presence of God is everywhere. God is omnipresence, and his presence is everywhere. There's not one place that he is not present. But his manifested presence is not presence everywhere. You know the difference. His manifested presence is not experienced every place. His manifested presence is there when there is hunger, where there is a love and a hunger for him. That not only do we need him, but we come to a place where we want him. We desperately want and need him. And therefore, when you have that hunger within your heart for him, we set an atmosphere. We set the atmosphere. We set the climate for his manifested presence to be here with us. And, you know, it's not, we can create an atmosphere to where we can experience the presence of God every time we gather. Amen. That we don't have to wait for a particular time or, you know, goosebumps or tree songs and worship songs. You know, if we come with expectation, that's a climate changer. If we come in faith, that's a climate changer. Amen. These are all things. If we come in worship, you know, worship is worshiping who he is, right? If everything is focused on him and not on us, he comes and he is with us. And what greater time to have the blessed assurance to know that God is always with us. You see, boldness is courage. They're the same thing. And boldness and courage comes from knowing who is with you and who is for you. The Bible says, if God be for us, I said, the Bible says, if God is for us, which he is, the writer is saying, who then? Who? Who can be against you? Or who can be against us? If God is for you. That's right. Nobody. But you got to know that. And that's where boldness comes from. God told Joshua, be bold, be courageous. Know that I am with you. Somebody knows God is with them. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, right? How shall he not freely give us all things? If he gave Jesus his all, what's going to stop him from giving us everything else? Everybody say boldness. I could teach on that today, but not this morning. Boldness comes from being filled and being filled with the Word and being filled with the Spirit of God. That's where boldness comes in. This thing about half empty and this, lackadaisical Christian living cannot with us no more. We have to live our lives full. We have to feed on the Word. We got to. Amen. Amen. But this morning, I know what the Word of the Lord is for us this year, which is a powerful word. But let's see. Let's do our declaration, and then we'll jump into the Word. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4. So let's make this declaration and believe it with your heart. I am a believing believer. I'm all here. I'm all in for God. I'm attentive, and my mind is alert. My spirit is full of the presence and the power of God. I'm a carrier of the glory of God. My body is full of energy. I live my life full of God's word and full of God's spirit. I want what God has for me today, and I won't leave here without it. I will hear the word, and I'll heed the word. Something supernatural is about to happen. Change is about to take place in my life. Now, if you believe that with all your heart, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 16. And if I was to entitle this message, I would say, why church? Why church? And after you hear the message, then you know why church. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Now, Paul, the writer of this book, he says, right now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Notice the word gave. It's past tense, right? Indicating something has already been given. So if something has already been given, Christ gave gifts to the church, and if something has already been given, the question we need to ask ourselves is, who gave it? What did he give? To whom did he give it to? And why did he give it? For what purpose? So keep that in your thoughts. And he says, now these are the gifts Christ. Now, how many of you know Christ is not Jesus' last name? Somebody tell me what the word Christ means. The anointed one and his anointing. That's right. So Christ, the gifts Christ gave to who? Who's the church? Right here. This is the church. A body of believers. This is the church. So understand, Christ, he's the one who gave. And what did he give? He gave it to the church, to us, right here. He gave the apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, when somebody gives you a gift, are you excited? Are you happy? Sure you would, right? Somebody says, hey, Cheryl, I have a gift to give you. And you're just like waiting, wow, anticipating, what is it, right? You're excited, right? Amen. Now, in order for you to enjoy and benefit from that gift, you must first receive that gift, right? If I tell Cheryl I have a gift for you and she doesn't show up and receive it, then she hasn't received it. She didn't show up. So she loses out. Amen. You guys follow me where I'm going. But in order to receive that gift, you must first receive that gift in order to benefit from that gift. And the scripture says Christ gave these gifts to the church. For what reason? And he tells us their responsibility is to equip. See, we as pastors, our responsibility is to equip you, the church. That word equip means to furnish or to provide whatever is needed for the undertaking. If we're not providing that and equipping you, then we're not doing our job as pastors or whatever gift that has been given to the church. So our responsibility is to equip God's people, the church. What for? To do the work, his work. I thought it was the pastor's job to do all the work. I'm just reading you what the word says. Okay, just follow me. Our job is to equip you so that you do the work. His work, not our work, his work. And to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, when it comes to describing the fivefold ministry, the simplest illustration I can give you is my hand. The thumb can represent the apostle. Notice that my thumb is all by itself, but yet it has the ability to touch every finger, the thumb. So the apostle is the foundation, right, to the working of this entire hand. Although it's alone, it works alongside with all of my other fingers. See, it would be hard for me to pick up this bottle with just my fingers. But if I had the thumb, look what I can do. And that's the job of the apostle. He works alongside with all the other ministry gifts. The index finger, this one, this finger we use for pointing. My grandson, Cashin, he started learning this thing. He started pointing. He goes, duh. He's pointing all over the place. But the index finger is the prophet. This finger points the way and the direction that the body ought to go. Amen. The middle finger, which is the longest finger, right? Now, this middle finger is not used to do the other shaka sign, right? If you know what I mean. But it represents, because it's the longest, it represents the evangelist, right? And he's the one that reaches out to the world, the evangelist. He evangelizes. And then we have the ring finger, which is the pastor. And this ring finger, or the pastor, represents that the pastor is married to the church. Amen. In seeing that the word washes the bride, and that the word would make the bride become pure without spot or blemish. So guess what, church? We're stuck with each other. We're married to you and you're married to us, amen? But it's a good thing. And lastly, the pinky finger. Small but very much important, the teacher. The one who expounds God's word. This finger can get into people's ears. Notice that. People use this finger. Get into people's ears, the word, right? For equipping the believers for the work of the ministry, in building the church. And he goes on, in verse 13, he says, this will continue until we all come together to such a unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we be mature or spiritually developed in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, or the King James says, the full stature. Then we will no longer be spiritually immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about with every wind of new tricks or doctrines. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. You ever heard something that sounded like the truth, but you knew in your heart that it wasn't? Amen? And he says in 15, he says, instead we speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part, everybody say each part, does its own special work, which is bringing your supply. It helps other parts grow. You know, you help other parts grow. That you are a vital part of this body, and you help each other grow. Don't ever think that you have no purpose in anybody's life here. We just read what God says. You have a part in everybody here, so that the whole body can be healthy and grow in growing and full of love. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we ask that you open up our hearts and eyes, Father, to receive all that you have for us this morning. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the teacher of the church. We bless you this day in Jesus' name. And everyone say, so like I said, I want to entitle this message, Why Church? Why Church? You know, I can remember as a young boy, every Sunday morning was church. And my mom, who was pretty much a prayer warrior and a very devout Catholic, you know, she wanted to raise her kids up in having some kind of spiritual foundation in our lives. But you know, at that young age, you really don't understand these things, right? But as a parent, she knew what she wanted to do with us. But she would have the hardest time in trying to get us up to go to church. I don't know, with me, she did. I don't know, my other brothers, I think we all did. But she had the hardest time in getting us up to go to church. Mainly because, you know, back in those days, I don't know if you guys remember, you know, we had only three stations, right? We had only three stations on our TV, right? We had Channel 9, Channel 12, and Channel 7. That's it. Everything else was blur. And we had those rubber rabbit ears. And even those stations that we did have was kind of fuzzy. So you basically had to sit real close. We didn't have cable, all that stuff we have now. But Saturday nights, certain Saturday nights, they would have this matinee called Kung Fu Matinee. But it would come on late at night. And when we saw that in the, you know, you remember we used to have those digest TV guides? We don't have that no more, right? Isn't that amazing? And we say, wow, Kung Fu. But it would come on 12 at night. So we'd stay up and watch it. And sometimes there'll be two. So, you know, it's hour of movies. So by the time we go to sleep, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, right? And next day is Sunday morning, church. So we go to 9 o'clock service. So that was one of the reasons my mom had a hard time getting us up. So what she would do is she would come in the room and just rip your blanket off of you and say, get up, get dressed, we're going to church. And the thing is, if you didn't get up that first time, watch out. The second time she comes in and you sleep in again, she comes in with a pot of water. Whoom. You remember that, yeah, Jaime? She did that to you, she did that to me. Right on your face, get you up. And you know, at that age, you know, I would think to myself, man, why church, you know? Why do I have to go to church? Why can't I just sleep? There's a mother, probably just like my mom, who was trying desperately to convince her son in going to church with her. And the son defiantly yells back at her, give me 3 good reasons why I should go to church. Just give me 3 good reasons, mom. So the mom thinks and says, well, you know, the Bible commands us to go to church. And secondly, son, I just want you to go to church with me. I don't want to go alone. And he's waiting. He says, Ann, well, thirdly, you're the pastor. Everybody said, why church? But you know, I can tell you my mom, our mom was a strong-minded, no-quit lady in getting her sons in going to church. But you know what is funny is as I look back then to now, I can understand why my mom did what she did and her motives behind it. Her motive was love, genuine love. Even though it didn't look like love, I know that for now, as a parent right now. A churchgoer wrote a letter to the editor of a newspaper and complained that it had made no sense to go to church every Sunday. He said, I've gone 30 years now, and in the time I've heard 3,000 sermons, but for the life of me, I can't remember a single one of them. So I think I'm wasting my time and the pastors theirs in giving sermons at all. So this letter obviously started a wave of controversy in the letters to the editor column, and it went on for weeks until someone wrote in response to the disgruntled churchgoer. And he writes, I've been married 30 years now. In that time, my wife has cooked 32,000 meals. But for the life of me, I cannot recall the entire menu for a single one of those meals. But what I do know is this. They all nourished me and gave me the strength I needed to do my work. If my wife had not given me these meals, I would be physically dead today. Likewise, if I had not gone to church for nourishment, I would be spiritually dead today. Amen? Has anyone heard the phrase, the churchless Christian? Anyone? The churchless Christian. It's kind of like an oxymoron, right? A churchless Christian. What does that mean? You know, you ever heard act naturally? Or bittersweet? Or clearly confused? This is what churchless Christian is, right? It doesn't make sense, but there is a truth behind it. Well, a churchless Christian is the one who says, I can be just as good of a Christian without the church. Everybody say, wow. Yeah, wow. What an interesting statement, but obviously wrong. Wrong. No one cannot be a good Christian without the church. You cannot. The Bible declares believers are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as we see the days approaching. The days are no longer approaching. We are in the days. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 to 25, reading from the New Living Translation. The Apostle Paul urges all believers, he says, let us think of ways or creative ways to motivate or to spur. That word spur means, you ever saw someone riding a horse and he jigs the spur into the horse to get it moving? That's what he means, spur each other. To acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect, or let us not be careless or laxed in our meeting together as some people do, but rather encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Church, Jesus is coming. And this is why Paul is admonishing the Hebrews and us to encourage, don't quit, don't give up. Look, I hope, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. That's the hope that we have, despite of all that is going on. The Passion Translation said, this is not the time to pull away or disconnect or to unplug. And to neglect our meeting together, as some have formed a habit of doing. You know the phrase, right? We first form habits, then habits forms us. Yeah, we can form good habits, but we can also form bad habits. And a bad habit is not coming and gathering together as we see the days approaching. And he goes on, he says, because we need each other. Turn to the person next to you and say, I need you. And tell the other one, you need me. And that's not a pretty cliche. That's God's word. We need each other. God knew when he wrote the word that we would be in a place that we needed each other more so. Amen. As the church. And he said we should come together even more frequently to encourage, to urge. That word encourage means to instill strength. And to urge each other onward, forward, as we anticipate the day of the dawning. Anticipate. You know, no doubt what is going on in the world at this moment can be discouraging and can be disheartening. Here's the thing, though, if you allow it to. So as I said earlier, keep yourself full of the Word. Keep yourself full of the Spirit of God. Amen. Keep yourself full. You know, the other night we watched Brother Kenny Copeland, and he said, it's not over till it's over, right? And even when it's over, it ain't over until God says it's over. Amen. Everybody say it's not over. Hallelujah. You see, when we came into our relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus, what he did was he joined us unto his body, right? The church. By connecting us with a community of believers, people of like faith, people which we can grow, we can love, right? We can forgive, we can mature, we can develop, we can motivate, we can encourage one another in this community, this what we call the church, the body of Christ, in right here. We develop each other, we mature each other, we find out what our gifts are, right? And we use that giftings to build each other up. But you can only find that in the context of here, the church. Amen. And we're able to live out our faith here in this atmosphere, this thing called community, the church, the body of Christ. We live out our faith and we grow in this place. So that we can go out and share what we learn here. In fact, the other day, yesterday, I was talking to Lyle. Lyle, are you here? Oh, yeah. We were talking, and Lyle was saying that, you know, he had his hair cut, and he was talking to his barber. And I guess she had come to this church many, many years ago, and she saw some things that she didn't agree with, you know, like speaking in tongues and falling out in the spirit. Those kind of things. But, you know, these things are all biblical. And Blau just explained to her what it was. He gave her the scriptures. And as I'm listening to him, I'm thinking, wow, this guy knows a lot. He has a lot of wisdom. He has a lot of knowledge. And I'm listening to him, and I go, wow. As a pastor, I'm listening. He's getting it. He's getting it. Why? Because he's here. He's growing. He's learning. He's understanding. And then he's able to take that information and share with somebody who doesn't know. Right? So we live out our faith, our Christian faith, amongst each other through acts of love and of good works. Everybody hear what I'm saying? You guys follow what I'm saying? Amen? As a matter of fact, no person is an island to themselves. As I said, we all need each other. I don't care who you are. But here's the thing, right? You will only reap the benefits of what I've just mentioned by being connected and staying connected to your local church. Amen. You know, some people say it doesn't matter where you go to church. I tend to disagree. Amen. It matters where you go. Is there a perfect church? No. God is perfecting his church. Right? He's perfecting us. But it matters where you go, where you attend. You know, a place where the word is taught in its entirety, And where the Spirit of God is given free liberty, right, to move as He please. Amen. You know, I recently read a post a couple of days ago, and it said, let's not go to church, but let's be the church. Or they'll say, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I'm not part of a church. Wow. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about last year of March when we had postponed our services, right? I think it was 2.5 months that we were not able to gather. The church was still in business, but we were not able to come together to have our services. And 2.5 months is a long time. Amen. You see, we can be in our own house doing what we do as Christians, praying, reading our Bible, right? But there's a missing component by being apart from each other. Because God never designed us to be apart from each other. And a lot of us in that time frame of being separated, there was a yearning in your heart to come together despite of what was being said. Is that not true? So in fact, when we started live streaming, and praise God, we were able to raise up a team and be able to live stream and be able to connect with our church family. And there was just a few of us, and we were kind of like being navigated through our way through all of this. Praise God that the Lord was able to help us through it all. But there were some of you that came around and started driving around, coming here, because you wanted to worship. There was a need for you to be with the family. And I don't blame you, because that's the way God designed it to. Amen. Because, you know, when God designed us, He designed us to have relationships. See, our relationship with Him is private, right? But it was never meant to be kept a secret in the sense of our relationship with Him. Yes, we have a personal relationship with Him, but our life as a Christian should never be private, because we were designed by God to be people of relationships, physically, emotionally, mentally, but mainly also spiritually. Does that make sense? Yeah. So when a person says, let's not go to church, but let's be the church, I understand what the person is saying. Yeah, the church is not a building. The church is us right here, right? The gathering of believers. But here's the thing. If you profess to be a Christian, how are you going to be the church unless you are in church? There's no such thing as a churchless Christian. If you are a professed Christian, you need to be in church, actively participating, fellowshipping, and worshiping in the corporate anointing of God amongst fellow believers. That's right. Look around. Look to your left. Look to your right. This is how the church looks like right here. This is the real church right here. Turn to the person next to you. Tell them, we're the real deal. We are. We are believers from all different walks of life, diverse in our ethnicity and our cultures, who are spiritually joined together through our relationship with Jesus Christ, making us a unified body, His body. What connects us together is our relationship with Him. What makes you my brother and sister is my relationship and connection with Him. Amen. He brought us into the body of Christ, His body. And that's a special place to be, a part of His body, His church. I remember that song we used to sing, I found where I belong, I'm a living stone, in this house I will grow. In this house, you'll find your place, a place where you belong, a place that, you know, it's one thing to know that God, his word says he loves you, right? And he does. God loves us. He's the God of love. But it's another thing to experience his love. And how do you experience his love? By a brother or sister who comes in and hugs you and says, I love you. That's how you experience God's love, to the love of another brother or sister. In this environment called the church, the body of Christ. Isn't that amazing? He being the head. And this church, I don't know about other churches, but this church, Jesus Christ is the head of this church. And we will align ourselves under his head, under his headship, his rule, his leadership, his authority, and we will align himself under his anointing. Amen? Because that's the place we belong, right under him. And everything that flows from the head flows down to us, the body. You know, I used to watch, we used to paddle, you know. Our club, we used to always beat Pastor Carroll Guy's club. Well, just like that controversy newspaper clip, there's a lot of controversy, but anyway. Actually, their club always beat us. Yeah. You still got the medals? You still got the medals? Oh, yeah? Okay, I didn't know. All right. Well, then that changed the whole story there. She's got proof. But anyway, you're talking about unity. You know, if a team is so unified and so in sync, the coach can watch you, your team, paddling, coming in, straight in. He can just see one person with arms paddling. He doesn't see different heads. When the team is just in sync and they're paddling together, all he sees is one head, which is the stroker, the number one guy. That's all he sees. But he sees all these paddles. And that means that team is in sync and in harmony and unity. And that's what you want when you paddle. Because everybody's paddling in unity. And man, you just look at the yaku. Boom, boom, boom. It's just skipping on the water. And that's what God wants for us, to be in unified, in harmony, so that we can move forward, right? And that's what I mean by being on the head, being in unity with him. And everything else falls in place. The pastors, the leadership, and all of us. All one, right? You know, I thank God for Christian television. Because I watch it. I thank God for Christian radio. I listen to it. Everybody listen to K-Love? I know Miley and... my mind just went blank. Mike. Sorry, Mike. You know, I know they listen to Caleb, but I listen to it as well. I thank God for the internet, for live streaming. In fact, we're live streaming right now. Amen. But all these social media platforms are wonderful in getting the gospel message out. You know, it's wonderful, it's important, and it needs to continue. But here's the thing. These platforms are only tools. And it can never substitute, remove, or replace the church. Amen. You know, some people, they watch a particular preacher on the TV and they say, wow, that was awesome. I just had church. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You watch a pastor or a preacher preach a message. That's it. You weren't in church. See, these are just platforms. They are just tools to be used in getting the gospel out, but they are not meant by God to replace or substitute the church, the gathering and fellowshipping of community of believers. You see, the church was God's idea. It wasn't some man or some religious organization that thought it up. The church was his idea. He thought it up. He designed it. Think about it. Whenever God wants to accomplish something here on this earth, on this planet Earth, guess how he does it? Through his church, through his people. People just like you and I, who make up the church, the body of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice, I will build my church. And that was one of the things as we became lead pastors. God, you're going to have to teach us how to build your church. Not man's church, how man's ideas of they think what church is, but you're going to have to teach us how to build your church. Because this is his church. He says, my church. Right? So if he says this is my church, then I got to learn how to build his church. Not what I think a church should be. And one of the scriptures he gave us is, they who build the house, and if they labor in vain, right? And we didn't want to labor in vain. And then he gave us another scripture when he had a conversation with Peter. He says, who do men say that I am? And only Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed Simon Bar-Jonas, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. So we build God's house based on the revelation of who Christ is. That was one of the other things that he gave us. Build my house in the revelation of who I am. Because when you know who I am, then you know who you are. If you know the identity of Christ, then you know your identity in Christ. It says the forces of hell will not have prevail over it. All the forces of hell will never have the power, will even come close, right, to win a victory over the triumphant church. Understand that there's no power of darkness that can ever stop the advancing church of that Jesus builds. And as he builds this church and as we advance forward, there's no darkness or hell or demon can stop us from advancing forward. Everybody say glory. Glory. You know, this past Tuesday, I feel this is what the Lord wants me to do. You know, this past Tuesday, the beginning of the year, this past Tuesday, we had our leadership meeting, and we have an amazing and wonderful anointed team of leaders that oversee all various of ministries within this church. And as your pastors, you know, we're honored and we're blessed and we're privileged to be where you are, right? But where we are in equipping you. But unless we have leaders who can help and assist with us, right, we cannot do what we do effectively as pastors. We cannot do this alone. We need a team. And without team volunteers as yourself, our church family would not be able to function efficiently as it should. But when we come together as a team, a body of one, there is tremendous strength and wisdom and diversity amongst us. You know, there's unity and strength when there is teamwork and collaboration among ourselves. And when that is happening, I mean, wonderful things can be achieved and accomplished.